Mai, how are you?
Thanks, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. So, what's your history with mental illness?
Well, I've suffered from depression since I was around 7 or 8, on and off. Mm. And I was hospitalised with depression between the ages of 14 and 17. And while I was in hospital, particularly kind of a few years back, there wasn't much in terms of help for young people online in terms of campaign. There were kind of the bigger mental health campaigns, but nothing more specifically for young people.
Yeah.
So through that and through kind of speaking to friends who had met in hospital and who'd struggled, I set up an online campaign called the It's Okay campaign, which aimed to tackle the stigma around teenage depression and general kind of mental health illnesses and encouraging people to talk out about their illnesses.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't know, Mai's got a blog called It's Okay, which has also got a guest blog on it where people kind of talk about their different struggles, and she's also got a Twitter, so go follow her. So how did you notice your depression first affecting your life?
It was something for me that I'd never really noticed because it was always there.
Yeah.
The point where I noticed it, kind of, I myself didn't really notice it, but the people around me did.
Hmm.
It was probably at around 14 when I became really severely depressed and I became very reclusive.
Yeah.
And I became very secretive about things and I just lost most of my personality.
So before that, did you just kind of think that nothing was wrong? Did you just kind of think it was normal?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things why I set up the campaign too, because for me it was something that I'd felt always, so I thought I was kind of normal emotions and feelings to be going through. Later, when I was older and went into hospital and met other people, that I realised my thought processes and how I felt wasn't a normal experience.
Yeah. And where would you say you are right now in your recovery?
I think generally I'm in quite a good place. I have occasional relapses where I need to go back to therapy and occasionally back on medication. But yeah, I'm okay at the moment.
And do you think, I think this is quite a common question for people struggling from mental illness, do you think that you can ever fully recover from depression where it will no longer ever affect your life? Or do you think it's something you've just kind of got to live with and manage?
I think it's different for everyone. People have different experiences. For some people it is something that happens for a period of time when it stops.
Mm.
Whereas other people can be having bouts of depression their whole lives. It's not a kind of rigid illness. Just because you have depression doesn't mean that you're kind of sentenced to a life of being depressed.
Yeah. You said you were hospitalised a few times in the past because of your depression, and I'm sure that was incredibly traumatic, and I can't even imagine how difficult that was. But how would you say that was helpful in terms of your recovery, if at all?
I mean, a hospital is meant to be kind of almost like a holding ground for people to unwell to be looked after in the community.
Yeah.
And I think there wasn't much helpful in terms of hospitals. I think it's better to not go to hospital because just within kind of the hospital system, there's loads of kind of politics and that kind of had impact on the patients too. But I think one of the biggest things for me, especially when I was 14, was meeting other people who were going through similar experiences to me.
Yeah.
And kind of being able to share your experiences with other people who understand and get support from them is really vital to recovery.
I've heard that through a few other friends that talking to other people about their experiences was very helpful, but I was wondering kind of how you stopped that from being triggering.
I mean, you've got to kind of, when you're talking to someone else about it, you've got to understand that they can be like, oh, I don't want to kind of talk about this. Maybe you need to get some help, and you can kind of gauge the amount of pressure you're putting on someone to be your support, I think. And I think you just got to understand that other people have their own experiences too, and that you've got to be careful with what you say because it might affect them. But also for yourself, it's all about kind of comfort and how comfortable you are in talking about it.
Yeah.
And how comfortable the other person is listening.
And I know that you've mainly had experience with children's services, but how would you say adult services differ from children's services?
Well, adult services are hard to get into.
Yeah.
most of the adult services offer 6-week therapy, and then after that you have to go back onto a waiting list. So generally there's just a lot less support for adults, and it's a lot harder to get the support, especially because lots of adult services around England are really underfunded and oversubscribed.
Which is probably really bad, because I'm pretty sure that most mental illness develops when you're a teenager. So if you're still in services when you're an adult, it's likely to be a lot more chronic, and probably you're more needing of treatment, but you only get the 6 weeks.
Yeah, and there's a whole kind of issue with transition, which is the transition between kind of 80 children's services and adult services. And there are several problems within that period. Getting kind of passed across to services sometimes doesn't happen properly. People are left without therapy. They've been having therapy every week for, say, 2 years, and then they just stop having therapy completely.
Did you ever feel like there was too much emphasis on one part of your treatment in inpatient and in other services?
I think with a lot of inpatient, well, generally with the kind of way the NHS is, they don't offer that many therapies. So you are stuck within a kind of very select few therapies when there are kind of loads out there, and if those don't suit you, there's not much you can do unless you go private. So you kind of in inpatient, there's a lot of emphasis on getting people on medication quite quickly, because obviously, but that's understandable, because they're in a situation, they're in a crisis situation, and sometimes medication is needed. I think the worst thing is kind of emphasis on particular therapies. The one-size-fits-all policy.
And in your experience, what were the staff like in the inpatient facility?
I mean, it's different. It's like, it's got almost like in school, you have some people who are really lovely and caring, nice, and others who aren't. Some of them were really nice and understanding and kind, and you felt really comfortable with them. And then there were others who wouldn't particularly feel comfortable talking to.
Yeah.
There were some instances where staff members weren't particularly compassionate and almost became kind of desensitized to horrific situations and scary situations, which for most people would be kind of very frightening, and for them they kind of almost found the twisted sick humour.
And did you ever experience any stigma around your mental health whilst in hospital?
I think the biggest amount of stigma that I faced, and I think most other people who've been in the situation would agree, is the kind of attitude in more general hospitals, so like in A&E.
Yeah.
The staff are very condescending, and there's a general air of, you're wasting my time. Why are you here? You've done this to yourself. And I think that's kind of a massive problem. In hospital, it's a bit different, because they're there, they understand that you're in a crisis situation. There's no chance then really to kind of stigmatise you and your illness. But honestly, and I feel it's really bad to make people feel quite uncomfortable.
And how would you say inpatient is different from other therapy that you've received?
Inpatient is intensive.
Yeah.
So 5 days a week, you're having 4 or 5 hours of therapy every day. Whereas with more outpatient services, it tends to be an hour every week. 2 weeks. So it's on a completely different scale. You also get different therapies, so like music therapy, art therapies, which aren't really offered in outpatient services.
And how do you think the NHS views mental health?
I think the NHS would probably want to say that they view mental health quite seriously, but due to things like funding, mental health is so underfunded. And I don't think the NHS sees it as a priority. I think the point where treatment is best is once a person enters crisis, and that's too late. The more money put into mental health services, there needs to be more money from the government put into mental health prevention. There needs to be more kind of intensive outpatient services.
To stop people getting to that crisis point of needing to be put in
inpatient. And once a person goes into inpatient, it's very expensive.
Yeah.
So it's almost kind of cost-effective to stop people getting to the point of inpatient services.
And obviously, the NHS has a lot of failings in terms of mental health and generally, but they also have a lot of advantages. What would you kind of say are the things that they're doing well right now and they should continue to do?
So some councils have set up kind of preventative services. So some councils have crisis services which they send out to people's homes, whereas others don't. Others make people go to only. Some councils offer more kind of day patient treatment, whereas others don't have anything. So it's very much how specific boroughs spend their money.
Yeah.
I think there's not something that the NHS is kind of overall doing well. But there's also, but in some places, there are very good things happening.
And I wanted to ask you, what do you think of the government's funding cuts and the NHS?
During the coalition, there was £50 million worth of funding cuts to CAMHS, which is Child Adult Mental Health Services. And it was kind of the point where I was receiving treatment from CAMHS.
Yeah.
And you very much noticed the difference. By the end of my time in CAMHS, I was having therapy in a storage room because they couldn't afford the space to have it in a normal. And also in terms of options for people, it's gotten to the point where there aren't many therapists available. So if someone doesn't get on with their therapist, which can happen, and you don't get on with everyone you meet, and there aren't really options to change. And I think that can be really detrimental to people's treatments because they're having to go and talk to someone who they don't get on with, who they don't trust. And those options need to be there. But also, more recently, there's been the £12 billion welfare cuts, and that will really impact people with mental health issues because they can't, kind of, some of the most vulnerable people in society, because kind of those with more serious or those with ongoing who are in crisis, they might have to go to work, they might not be able to do that, and it's really going to impact the quality of people's lives.
And I think I'm right in saying that kind of when there is cuts, mental health is kind of the first thing to be hit by those cuts. Why do you think that is?
Because people don't care enough. Kind of historically, people with mental health issues have been seen as outcasts.
Yeah.
And I think particularly in government, that mentality still lingers.
So I think it would be fair to say that in terms of awareness for mental health, campaigns like yours, Johnny Benjamin's, Katie Morton, all of whom I've interviewed, but would you say that the services have actually gone downhill and people are receiving worse treatment, even though awareness is getting better?
I mean, when I first went into hospital when I was 14, there was no question that I'd go into hospital. I went to A&E and kind of within a few days I was placed in a bed. Now, the young people, there's so many stories where people are going into hospitals and being turned away at A&E. I think last year a young girl was placed in a prison cell because they didn't have any available beds. So it's in a kind of absolute shambles at the moment. You can't, it's very hard to get any help now.
Yeah.
Without waiting.
In 10 years, what would you like to see in terms of the difference about how mental health is viewed and treated in our society?
Well, I think in terms of how mental health is viewed, it's going in the right direction.
Yeah.
It needs to become something that's kind of seen more as just an illness as opposed to a choice. And I think particularly by workplaces, it needs to be viewed as something that can't be helped. It has an impact on people and they need to understand that the impact's there, not just to kind of suck it up and get on. But it's definitely going in the right direction. It needs to be something which people are comfortable to talk about. This is kind of a really common example, but if someone broke their arm, people would know they broke their arm. They would tell people there have been absolutely no stigma attached. And it needs to become more like that. And in terms of how it's kind of treated in the NHS, there needs to be more funding. There needs to be more therapies offered. There needs to be more choice of treatment in what's being offered.
And if a listener here was kind of considering going into inpatient, or maybe they've already gone into inpatient, what advice would you give them to kind of, this might be a weird way of saying it, but make the most out of the experience and make it as productive as possible?
Particularly in inpatient, the first thing they need to do, and this sounds really dire, but they need to learn their right to find out what they're entitled to and what choices they have to make, because hospitals won't tell them because it can make it more difficult for them. I was very lucky because my mum did all of that for me, but there were kind of quite a few instances where I wasn't getting the treatment that I should have because they weren't giving me my options. So that would be the first thing, and generally just try to engage in therapy.
Yeah.
And get out of hospital to be treated in the community.
Yeah.
Because hospital isn't a long-term solution.
Okay, thank you so much, Maya. That was absolutely incredible. You've been really inspiring when talking about your experience with the NHS, and hopefully you've helped a lot of people. Unfortunately, all we've got time for, so we'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right, bye.